Jazzy Hardcore Podcast, brought to you again by KUST. I'm your host, Nick.
I'm Alan.
I'm Connor.
And welcome back to the next episode in the Monster Mash Month. I believe this is episode 5 or 6. Five. Of season 2.
I'm bad at counting, don't ask.
Yeah, I can't count. It's a marketing major because I can't really count that much. So, like, my major doesn't do any math. So, that's my strong point. But today's topic is going to be dun-dun-dun. Alan, take it away.
Indie games.
And for those who don't know, if you listened to last episode, it's the exact opposite of what Passant plays, which is not casually hardcore or AAA games. So, in the kind of the realm of indie games, I guess Alan could do the best description, I think, of what an indie game is.
Well, I mean, an indie game, in basis, is just a game made by an independent developer, you know? It's just basically that, but I think usually indie games have more heart and soul to them than AAA developers.
Right, and they're shorter, too.
Yeah.
They're a lot shorter, too, and I feel like as AAA games have become more cinematic, as kind of like the big movie experience equivalent of the video game scene, indie games have filled in that void of the more AA games and more short experiences, very niche.
The movies you bring to film festivals.
Yeah, exactly. And they do a lot more gimmicky stuff, too. Like, their mechanics are wholly kind of, they have games based around mechanics more or less than games based around a campaign and so on and so forth. And it's actually really cool to see how indie games have been supported by all of the big, kind of the big three. I know Nintendo has the Nindies events. Microsoft has the Indie Launch Kit, or what is it?
I don't remember.
It's a big indie program, and then Sony was kind of the one that kickstarted all of it by kind of like bringing them to the forefront. Actually, I think Sony was the first major publisher of indie games through E3, because they brought it to their E3 showcase, the indie showcase. Yep. So it's really cool to see how it's happened from 2012, 2010 era, the Xbox Live Arcade era, to where it's at now. It's been incredible.
I mean, even from then. You know all those Flash games you used to play as a kid?
Yeah.
Most of those people became independent developers.
Like Newgrounds, yeah. Specifically. A lot of people that used to work on those Newgrounds Flash games actually make a lot of indie games now. And the funny part is, there's a lot of Easter eggs referencing their old games, too. Or their old games are actually in their game in some perspective. But before we kind of dive deep into it, October's hitting its stride hard. We got some gaming news to talk about. Rocket League Halloween event just kicked off. Anybody play Rocket League around here? Because that's an indie game.
It is an indie game. I haven't played it for a while, though.
I haven't played in a long time.
Yeah, for those who are big Rocket League fans that have not listened to the information yet, this event is going to be a lot different from the past two Halloween events, the ones that happened in 2015, 2016. They're now going to a loot crate-style system Halloween event, which is interesting because a lot of people are kind of ticked in some case because you have to buy, it's all random based versus it being you just play a bunch of matches and you eventually unlock all of it. What they're doing now is this candy corn system where you get a certain amount of candy corn based on how many points you scored, how many assists, if you're MVP or not. And if you get enough candy corn, you can trade it in for these keys. And these keys can not only unlock the Halloween crates, but also crates the past too. So you have a choice. Do you want the Halloween events or do you want to open up crates for free from the past where keys were only paid? So that's something that people have kind of like, well, this isn't too bad because there's that option, but this is kind of really, really crappy because that whole fun, random, you know when you play Rocket League and you win a match and you get either a crate or you get a free top or topper,
yep.
That's gone and people are kind of upset about that. What do you guys think? What's your input on that?
Well, personally, I used to play Rocket League a little bit when I was younger, I guess.
Right. So like a year ago?
Yeah, a year or two ago.
So you're like,
now you're much wiser.
Now you're much wiser.
Well, I mean,
the baby cheeks are gone.
It was really fun. It was really fun because, well, after you won or lost or whatever, you still got you got something out of it. But I just really don't like loot crate systems.
I don't either. And kind of going from that, but Connor, what do you think?
I see why they do it. I mean, you make a lot of money with loot crates, so I don't think they're ever going to go back to a time where there wasn't loot crates, but
yeah,
I'd say there's too many games out there where it's pay to win almost.
Battlefront 2, honestly, was a big example of that from the beta. They have fixed that, though. If you ever watch any of our social media accounts, we have been kind of covering that whole situation. So
Battlefront 2. Yeah, there was a sniper there that was just overpowered, especially on PC.
Oh, yeah.
Start spamming it immediately with, like, no.
We're going to throw out some little, like, cop-outs. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You get a lot more information there, too. And follow the KST website because they have a lot of cool content. Cop-outs for days! So, kind of going off the Overwatch... Or, sorry, we're going to talk about Overwatch spoilers.
Oh,
but the loot crate system, the Halloween Overwatch event, also kicked off last Friday, which I was really amped about. I played a lot of it. I actually beat Eric and getting skins this time.
Oh.
Eric can't defend himself this episode, so it's going to be all about me bragging about what he didn't get and what I got. So
whoa, what did you get?
I got two of the brand new skins back to back.
Oh,
and
really?
Another cop-out. I recorded it on our YouTube channel, so go watch it, and you can see all the glorious skins that I got. But
do you have a reaction?
I'm slowly in the process of figuring out how to talk while streaming.
Okay.
I'm very, very, like, new to all this. I just got a mic, so we'll play it around. Also, side note, the PlayStation camera has been delivered, so we are going to be doing our PlayStation scary games kind of thing here shortly.
We can do that, yeah.
So stay tuned for that. Again, social media accounts will have it.
I got some art for that, too, by the way.
Oh, Alan has art for it. Oh, man, I'm pumped. So Overwatch's event added a bunch of new skins. They added a brand new Halloween terror map, and they added a new mode based off last year's Junkenstein event. Now there's Endless Horde.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they could have made something new, but I understand why they made it like that.
And the skins from last year are cheaper, too. Yeah. So if you really want a Pumpkin Reaper like I did and never got it, it's only 1,000 gold versus the 3K. So I really feel like it incorporates last year's very well, and then adds a bunch of decent amount of stuff. But to your point, I really feel like they could have added at least a couple more maps. Overwatch and their events, I feel like they either go really big or they go kind of
small.
They go small. And I feel like Halloween is because a lot of games launch September, mid-October. They skip the Halloween event, and we typically don't get content another full year for that Halloween event to kick in. So as a huge Halloween enthusiast, it's kind of bummer for me, you know, not to get that event to, because Christmas, every game covers Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Like, Call of Duty World War II is going to have a Christmas event. Everybody's going to have a Christmas event.
That's because when you sell the most, right?
Right, because it's December. Everybody's going to buy it, and they're going to play it. They want to do the event. So the final Halloween event, for now, is Call of Duty Infinite Warfare is the only Call of Duty this year getting Halloween events. And it's really kind of cruddy, because Modern Warfare Remastered was developed by Ravensoft. And they typically do a lot of cool events. For anybody that's followed that scene, they did the Beach Box Summer Playlist or Summer Holiday. And they did the Michael Myers thing, even though it wasn't Halloween related. I don't know why they bring that back, but and they did a lot of really cool revamps of maps. Like they did like a St. Patrick's Day thing, and so that got scrapped apparently. So now what we have is these random giveaways on Fridays and Mondays, where you can get these Halloween themed content. So if you still, for whatever reason, have Infinite Warfare installed before World War II comes back, I mean, you have the ability to get, I guess, cool things. I again, cop out. I streamed a little bit of it, but I was so bored. I was just like, I'm just playing this to get footage. So, but those three events are coming up. I believe Gears of War, RuneScape's on the horizon too. I believe Battlefield 1's even having something. Rainbow Six Siege as well. And whatever games I guess you guys have thought of too. I know the MMOs get those too, but for games that we're looking at, those are coming kind of late October, kind of towards the actual Halloween weekend. So stay tuned for that. We'll have a lot more information. But back to indie and back to what I talk about. So what's Alan Connor? What's your favorite indie games? Just off the top of your head, like your most favorite up to date to now.
Ooh, that's actually pretty rough. I mean, the most recent one I'd say is Cuphead.
Very good game.
I think that's a really good game. I've heard good things about A Hat in Time, if you guys have heard about it.
Yep.
Yeah, a buddy of mine plays a lot of it. He says it's really good.
Oh, really? That's the one that had the voice actor that kind of got in that controversy.
You mean JonTron, yeah.
JonTron, yeah. But I heard that game is like a little bit like Mario, kind of is? Like kind of Mario Galaxy in a sense?
It's a collect-a-thon platformer.
Yeah. Okay. And that just came out, did it not? On Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox, right? Yeah. It looks
also PC.
And PC, of course. It looks really cutesy. The art style looks amazing. It looks funny, giggly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you see the thing that they fixed, because there was what was it, Ukulele, and then there was this one, right?
Well, Ukulele is I feel anything made in Unity kind of isn't good. Well,
I think that they fixed a lot of problems from there.
You think so?
To Hat in Time, because when the camera isn't garbage, right?
Okay.
I saw a video about it. Apparently, they have it so that there's an algorithm in Hat in Time, so that it tries to predict where you're going to go. So the actual vision isn't absolute trash like it was in Ukulele.
That's good.
Rip
Ukulele, by the way. Rest in peace. That was a game I was really looking forward to that kind of was too ancient. Its gameplay was too ancient. It didn't really revamp much from Banjo-Kazooie and the guys from Rare. But, Connor, what about you, brother?
I don't really play too many indie games, but I'd say probably Minecraft. I mean,
Minecraft.
Old but gold.
Could you consider that AAA now? Because all the updates and support?
I mean,
or like you're talking about OG Minecraft from back in the day?
Back in the day. I had an account like back in like eighth grade or something like that. Dude. Where
oh, you're right.
Middle school.
Back when you can actually download textures for free in the modding space before you had to pay $2.99 for every mod pack. Yep, yep. Oh, man, Minecraft was so much fun, man.
It's so weird how it changed, too, since it fell into Microsoft's
hands. Oh, yeah, it evolved pretty.
Well, I remember, too, back in the day when it came out on arcade, because I didn't have a PC to play it on, so I got it when it came out in Microsoft Arcade back in, like, the summer of arcade. Remember that back in the day? And I played a ton of it. Like, it was before it had survival mode and everything. Like, it was just bare bones Minecraft. That was so much fun. That's what I think about indie games, is simplicity, because it's just core fun mechanics.
Yeah, there's, like, no point to the game. You just kind
of... I mean, Minecraft's just fun because of the way the game is, you know?
Right.
It's not trying to be more than it is.
It's timeless. Yeah, I think it really is. And I feel like for a company to spend $2 billion, exactly $2 billion,
on an indie game,
I really feel like the value. Well, I mean, you see toys of it everywhere. It's on every system known to man. I'm pretty
sure.
It's a brand. And I see kids. Well, when I was working, like today when I was working for the Vikes, I saw somebody with a creeper hat. Like, how cool is that? And it's a little kid. Like, I wonder how much that kid actually knows about Minecraft or the fact that he watches people play Minecraft. You know what I mean? Like, you wonder...
Oh, Jesus. The Minecraft community online.
How is there not pops in Minecraft yet?
It's pretty bad. I'm going to be real with you, the community.
Really? Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, I used to watch it when I was a kid. But...
Oh, him? Oh, yeah, that's bad.
I think it's gotten a lot worse, to be honest.
You think
because
so?
Because the YouTube algorithm sort of, like, stopped caring about Minecraft YouTubers.
Oh, that's right. Minecraft YouTubers were big for, 2012 to 2014? Yep. It was just everything was Minecraft. Or those Minecraft songs.
Make a lot of money. A lot of money on YouTube.
And then they just died.
Captain Sparkles. Anybody remember him?
I remember him, dude.
Yep, that was good.
He used to make those parodies.
Yeah, they were funny. They were good songs, too.
The first Minecraft YouTuber I kind of watched was a guy named Syndicate.
Yep.
Watched him zombies mainly, like, back in the day, and then... You really got into Minecraft. I was like, oh, check it out.
I actually still watch some type of I watch Pixelmon. Have you ever seen
Pixelmon?
KWR Speedy, the Pokemon mod? Yeah, I watch this guy. He does a season every late September till about end of November. He does like this kind of 2.5 month span of like how far he can get in it, and then he does another season. So
interesting.
It keeps the spicy kind of fun. I mean, it's different.
I think that's another thing. I think YouTube really plays a huge part in like merchandising for indie games.
That's why everybody should buy casually hardcore stuff. It's not even existent yet.
I was about to say, do we even have merch
we
yet?
We don't have.
We have Xbox One controller designer themed stuff.
What?
That I just, you know, like those Xbox One ID Xbox, you can like go and customize your own controller.
Yeah.
I made casually hardcore presets.
Oh really?
Have you tried talking to Scuff yet?
I have, and I haven't received an email back. So Scuff Gaming, what are you doing? Message me.
Hit us up
whenever you want.
Give us money.
I mean, I'm real. The first date's a lot of fun. I promise.
Wine and dine.
But kind of. I guess I'll talk about my favorite indie game. My favorite indie game of all time, honestly, to this point, just came out. Rhyme.
Rhyme.
I really, really, really like Rhyme. So if anybody kind of followed that scene. Rhyme is a very culturally artistic, one of those very vibrant, beautiful games, very open world that's kind of self-discovery. There's not a lot of too much, like, core mechanics in terms of you do this, you go, okay, you get this objective, you go, you know what, like, very linear.
Yeah.
It's very open world, very kind of discovery. You play as a young guy trying to just discover himself in this beautiful world, and it's a nice time sink. The music's incredible. The art style is beautiful. It's very calming. It's very peaceful. I will say the animations are a little jaggy, but when you're paying $20, $30 for a game, I kind of expect things not to be perfect. I feel like price point really sets the precedence for a lot of these indie games. And if it was a $20 one, I expect good. $15, I expect quick, fun time. And then, you know what I mean? Just like these tiers. It was beautiful. I'm really starting to get into games where it decompresses me. As I've gotten older, there's a lot of stresses and anxieties that I'm kind of being forced upon by other outside factors. And playing these shooters and really chaotic games are fun, don't get me wrong, I play those primarily.
But they stress you out.
But they stress me out, too, because I'm like, I gotta be the best game ever. And then games that are just very, you go at your own pace, you
Played
do what you want to do.
Almost.
Very. Like, I just literally sit there and just kind of relax in the world.
Personally, that's the way I feel about Cuphead.
And then a creeper comes and blows you up and you start freaking out.
I have a creeper controller, by the way, that thing's cool.
Really?
Yeah, they did y'all see that?
No.
Kind of, I guess.
I've seen it.
They released a Minecraft pig and Xbox, or their Xbox One controller, and released a Minecraft pig and a creeper one as well. They're really cool. And like when you open the back panel of the Xbox One, it goes like a TNT thing. think it's kind of cool. It's really cute. But sorry for interrupting you.
This is fine. I mean, I don't know what it is about Cuphead, right? There's like people that say it's like, oh, I get so mad when I play Cuphead. It's so dumb, blah, blah, blah. I don't get that. Because you can go at your own pace, right?
I love Cuphead.
It's calming for me.
It's so hard. Because don't you like Dark Souls?
I don't. I've never played Dark Souls.
That was Eric.
Oh, that's
that
right. That's right.
But I do like hard games. But I just like learning new things, seeing what the game gives to me. The music is beautiful.
Oh, the art style and music is phenomenal. It's like it's nostalgic. It's so nostalgic that it's welcoming. Like you just get transported back to a more simplistic time while playing this.
Yeah.
And the gameplay is amazing. I don't want to spoil too much, but I always was kind of curious because I only saw in gameplay clips of just boss battles, and I was like, how does this mechanic work? Like, what's in between these boss battles that makes... And then the way it's executed is phenomenal.
Have you played it?
Mm-hmm. I have gotten past... So I'm trying to think just kind of a boss at the top of my head that I just beat. The octopus? Or, like, the squid one?
Oh, you mean the run and gun one?
Yes. Okay. I just beat that one, so...
I'm stuck on the bee, I'm not gonna lie.
The bee was hard.
I hate the bee, dude.
I'm not gonna lie, I was stuck about an hour and a half on the, like, quote-unquote tutorial boss, the corn one. That thing kicked the crap out of me for the longest time. The one that turns into corn and a carrot.
Oh, you mean the potato.
Yeah, the potato guy, yeah. And then...
Really? You got stuck on him?
Yeah, well, and then, like, the bouncing blue dude I beat in one run.
Oh, that guy took me a while.
So I just figured out dash back and forth. I think the hardest part of that game is, like, the little side platforming things you can do, or not even... would you consider that platforming?
I mean, that's
like the running gun?
I think the running guns are slightly platforming. I think they're mostly, like... It's not Mario platforming. It's more like Samus, Mega Man.
Yeah, kind of more of that Metroidvania style. Yeah. Connor, you play Cuphead at all?
No, I haven't. I mean, I've watched a video on it, but...
It's amazing. I'd highly, highly recommend it. Only for $20. I had that thing pre-ordered at E3, and I got it for $15. But $20 for that game, you get your money's worth. And then it's like Rocket League last year. You know, there's like those certain indie games that come out that are like $20, and it's like, boom. Like, that was the...
I mean, at the same time, there's, like, this hype culture around them that kind of ruins them in a way, I think.
That's true. Well, I feel like every year there's that one game that the entire community kind of wraps its sound around. Like, there's enough marketing push, but it's mostly kind of peer-to-peer voice. Word of mouth really kind of escalates it to a whole new level. Yeah. Because for those who don't know, fun fact, Rocket League was a re-release of an already established game.
Really?
Did you guys not know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, Rocket League was a re-release of a PS3 arcade game called Super Battle Cars or something like that. And if you actually go look into, like, their DLC, one of their car packs is their old game from their PS3 game. Yeah, wow. So go look into it. It's really fascinating. Like, some of their arenas, too. Like, you know those the arcade-y ones that look like Tron, the blue and orange?
Yeah.
Those, some of those map styles are maps from game. Yeah, because the first game was so... Sure. Not archaic, chaotic in terms of, it wasn't very linear, like, here's the straight field. It was very, like, round and had circles, and sometimes the goals were, like, right next to each other, and it was really cool. So, fun fact of the day there. What about this? Because everything's been pretty positive so far. We kind of got to make it a little negative. What's been your worst indie experience to date so far? Okay, starting with you, Alan.
Jesus Christ.
Beep.
That's pretty hard, dude. Because I usually don't buy bad indie games.
That's true. That's another thing we could probably talk about, too, about indie games and buying.
Because bad indie games always get bad press.
Right.
Like, there's nothing good about them.
It's
like,
pretty hard to get good press on an indie game.
Yeah, exactly. Even bad AAA games sometimes get decent press.
Okay, well, maybe reword that then. What disappointed you the most when you bought it? Like, you say you bought an indie game and it just wasn't what you thought it was. Or it didn't, like, satisfy, like, that purchase point.
Jesus, I don't remember what it's called, but it's a game where you have two players, and you could turn into monsters, and then your friend is trying to kill you, something like that.
Dead by Daylight?
No.
That's a fun indie game. Technically, that's an indie game too.
Yeah, but it's like a pixel game, whatever. I just didn't like it. It wasn't that fun for me personally.
I gotcha. Yeah, there's a lot of indie games out there that are based around friends.
Yeah.
And we don't have many friends. So it's very hard to play. No, I feel you. There's games out there that are very gimmicky. And for some people, there are a lot of... Oh, Beast. I know what you're talking about. I remember that. Little flashbacks of that there. I might try to find some, like, footage of that. But yeah. What about you, Connor?
I don't really play indie games too much, so I haven't really had a bad experience with them.
You gotta dive into the pool, dude.
Yeah,
gotta get my feet wet.
Technically, PUBG's an indie game.
All right, well, I mean, I haven't had a bad experience still. I mean,
technically it is.
Besides raging every once in a while, that's about it.
I think of all the bad indie games I played, the Zombie Station one. So let me get this. I don't buy, like, to your point, Alan, I don't buy very many indie games. You have to really, really great. Like, Rocket League was one that I bought day one. Cuphead was one as well. Guacamelee was one I bought day one also. I'm trying to think. There's a very small list of games that I'm like, okay, I'm going to invest my money into this indie scene.
I mean, I bought Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight I bought too. Yep. Remember last year where it was like, Shovel Knight. Like, yeah. Yeah, I totally forgot about Shovel Knight. Man, I feel bad. But I get a lot of free games through the PS4 Plus subscription and Xbox Gold. And a lot of those games, I'm like, you know what? I'll try this game this month. You know, who cares? Zeros. That was such a bad game. It was just bad.
What is that game?
It is literally, it's like a co-op shooter thing. It's like two. Okay, so imagine.
It's like an arcade game.
It's an arcade-y style game. It's not like Space Invaders in terms of like a shmup. It's nothing like that. It's a down over the top. Kind of over, like, I'm trying to think of, like, a good game that kind of remembers it. You know, over-the-top kind of games where you have the over-the-top scene, yep. And you kind of run around and shoot. It's one of those. And the AI is stupid. They don't, like, the difficulty spikes ramp up from extremely hard for no reason. And then when it's actually supposed to be hard, it's super easy. It's just extremely frustrating. And there's no pattern to figure out.
Yeah, that just seems not fun.
It's just bad. It's just a bad game. And it's not like it's a bad game where it's like the TMT, the game that was made by Platinum that was bad, but it was just so bad it was fun.
Yeah.
This was just agonizing. Like, why does this exist? Like, you should be ashamed that you released this. Like, I would, you know, like those jobs you do and you don't put them on your resume because you just did them because you had to at the time. That's that game. I would not want to be associated with that at all. Like, I go on a developer interview. What games have you made? Not that game. That wasn't me at all. Wow, that wasn't me at all. Like, that was Fred's idea. I just did the sound. Just did the music. Music was good. That's another thing too. Most indie games have good music. I can't really harp on very many indie games in terms of their music.
No, I can't. Hotline Miami has good music. Mm-hmm. Cuphead, Shovel Knight.
Minecraft still has it's good ambiance music.
Yeah, true.
Everybody played Zombie, Lights, Camera. It's like Zombie. It was on PS Plus a couple months back.
I think
it's
I know
like
what
Zombie.
You're
oh, Zombie
about.
Monster Tower or Monster Tower. That was really good too. Had a lot of good music. I really feel like the indie scene because of the amount of artistic integrity that comes with it because of a lot of the freedoms you get while being an independent developer. I think the soundtracks are very, very amazing because they're not linear. They're not assumable. They're not guessable. Obviously, when you play the Call of Duties, you have the orchestra. You have the dramatic, you know, highs and lows. Yeah. And, like, don't get me wrong. Their soundtracks, like, Assassin's Creed won a Grammy, I think. Or, for right, Grammy, correct? Yeah.
Doom.
Yeah.
Doom got a...
Yeah, Doom got a nomination.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, those, I mean, those are good. But
was it Assassin's Creed 1 or 2?
3. Three got it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's funny. One of the worst games in the series got literally some of the most high acclaimed awards.
But I really like the music from 2.
Well, I mean, here's
oh,
the other
dude,
thing.
Ezio's theme is a mate.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, no.
The other thing is, like, AAA games, like, have companies, right, that push products. Like, Assassin's Creed gets a sequel every other year. Call of Duty gets a sequel. Battlefront, stuff like that.
Right.
They're just trying to push the merchandise, right?
Yeah.
Indie developers don't have that.
Yeah, it's true.
So they can build a little bit more quality around their products.
Yeah, well, because they have to. It's either sink or swim. Like
the
Lawbreakers game made by Cliffy B.
I mean, it's not a bad game, right?
It's not a bad game, but there's no marketing push for it. Yep. The game died. It's just that genre is so overwhelmed right now. Like, you have Team Fortress 2, which is the OG. You have Overwatch, which is now the newest amazing game. And then you have Paladins, which has actually eaten some Overwatch's share because it's free to play. Yep. Like, how do you compete with that? I mean, you look at Battleborn, and that flopped tremendously.
It's not even the same kind of game,
but it was marketed as such, and it failed. There's just so many big powerhouses in this genre that games like that are just going to fail.
Yeah.
And Cliffy B, he was, for those who don't know, he used to work at Epic, developed the Gears of War franchise, is what he's best known for. He broke away and decided to make this game called Lawbreakers, which is a more edgy, I guess.
It's edgy.
A very edgy, over the top on purpose, not done to look cool. It's definitely done on purpose.
I think it based it a lot on movement.
Yeah, and it's basically an Overwatch style game, but with different gimmicks and different movements. It's a really fun game, and honestly, just some games like that, they put their, like you said, they put their love and devotion in it, but sometimes they fail, and these developers have to put every ounce of blood, tear, and sweat and love into these games, or they won't be able to make the next one.
No.
It's not like these studios have, okay, you flop this time, but you have this huge pet, like BioWare, right?
Yep.
You made the Dragon Age series, you made Jade Empire, you made Baldur's Gate, but sometimes they have a flop here and there, but because they've made such great games and the brand is so big, they're allowed to continue. And obviously, sometimes some of those studios fold, but most indies close a lot because of that.
That's true.
There's very few studios out there that kind of really have a big portfolio. I think the only one that I can relate to the top of my head is the SteamWorld Dig developers.
There's also Team Meat.
Yeah, Team Meat. Well, Meat Boy's coming in a different game, too, or like the Spelunky team. So a lot of them now are actually kind of getting sequels, but it's either one sequel or three games. You know, it's not a lot of games. So that's good. So for those who have kind of some experience in indie, so Connor, if you were to get a Nintendo Switch, right, just for instance, would you kind of think, A, I'm going to get Nintendo games, or B, this is going to be a great system for indie games? Just curious off the top of my head. What would you think right away?
What would I think right away? Mm-hmm. I'd go buy Legend of Zelda, and I'd get Mario.
See, and I think not to be mean at that point.
Yeah, no.
But I think that's the problem people have these days, because Nintendo is full. The Switch itself is full of amazing indie titles.
Oh yeah.
Same with Xbox and PlayStation, but
I don't want to say it has a stigma to it, but like when you hear indie game.
Kind of does.
I think almost subpar. Like I hate to say that, but I don't know why. So I don't good, know why. Though.
They are. Well, I was.
I mean, I guess it depends, to be honest.
I was in the same boat as Connor, and I can feel for that. I was like, I have very limited time. I play these big budgeted $60 games. Why should I toss out $20 for a game when typically at that point when I saw a game at $20, I thought it was a low quality. It was kind of one of those things. You see a cheaper product, you think, oh, it's kind of not very good.
Yep.
It took me a while to get warmed up to that, and at Guacamelee. Was the not the Terrible Dance, but the Guacamelee game was the first game that got me to the indie side, like truly into indie, not the Minecrafts and all the Summer of Arcade stuff that was really hyped and marketing pushed, but it truly sank my teeth into that kind of genre, and I really feel it's enriching, because you see the true nature of the gaming industry. I believe, you know, do you agree with that?
I kind of know what you're talking about. It's like with AAA games, you can't really see the hard effort the people put in the game, because there's so much polish. It just
looks
amazing.
They're coming out with one every year.
Yeah. Right. Well, like it's like a corporate agency versus an
independent person.
Independent person, right? Because in the corporate world, you have a structure. You do this, this, and this because it's been executed for so long.
It's
a formula. It's a formula, and it works. But when you're independent, you get to learn those mistakes and figure things out, and it's just you have more of that stylized touch.
What you're trying to say is it feels a little bit more personal.
It feels real. Mm-hmm. You know, it has that person behind it. Like, for any of those who haven't watched E3, do you guys remember watching E3 when the guy came out talking about Yarny at EA?
Yeah.
And he started crying? I was like, wow. I actually bought that game based off of his thing. If he did that fakingly, he sold me as a customer. The game was great, but you truly see the passion behind these developers.
I mean, they're literally killing themselves by making these games, because usually indie developers have a 50-50. That's being generous.
Yes.
Of failing or succeeding.
Right. And then succeeding on top of that is making enough money to not only stay afloat, pay the people that work for you or even yourself, and then make another game. Yep. That's on top of that. That's not just breaking even, right?
And then there's the games that have the most concurrent players on Steam Market.
Well, it's just interesting to see the trends in gaming in terms of, like, PUBG is amazing. Well, Connor used to have the most views on our YouTube channel. Shout out to YouTube again until he was stolen away. Stolen away. So if you guys want to give Connor back the ego boost, go watch his video.
I gotta put one up.
He's gotta put more up. He hasn't had one in a while.
I don't have any quality or any content or anything.
I've been handling most of it, but these guys are ready to get back into it again. So
make a video next week, I think.
We gotta do the Halloween, and I can't say it. It's a tongue twister. It really throws me off the loop there.
What is it really?
Alan Linux, right?
Alan Linux.
All right.
It's like Linux with Alan.
No. I said I wrote it as Alanisys.
Alanisys.
Because it's analysis, but in my name.
Analysis, but Alanis.
I feel like I have a horrible dyslexia or something. I feel when like I first looked at it, I was like, wait, what?
No, it was very punny and clever. I loved it, but I just couldn't because I'm just, again, back to the point where I'm not very good with math. I'm kind of dumb, too, on top of that. So
dyslexic?
I'm just
I don't read too good.
I don't read so well. So, no, kind of going back to indie stuff, though, I truly feel like the indie scene is also kind of incorporating, like, so for those, have you guys played Hellblade at all?
No, I haven't. What's,
so it's the, you know how back in the day in the OG Xbox, GameCube, PS2, maybe a little bit PS1 era, the AA game, you know what a AA is, right? The difference between a AA and a AAA?
Yeah.
Kind of. And that scene had a lot of those budgeted AA games. Well, that died off in the 360 era relatively well. You're going to be a 360 AAA game or PS3 or PC, or you're going to be the arcade system type of game. There wasn't really anything in the middle, kind of died for a while.
You're right.
And Hellblade was a really big financial risk made by Ninja Blade, the Ninja Team Studio that makes like the they're owned by Bandai Namco, and they make the Ryu Hayabusa. What series is he from?
I don't remember.
You know what I'm talking about? It's Google Ryu Hayabusa and you'll know, or Google Hellblade and you'll figure it out. But basically, a lot of people were, you know, harping that the AA kind of era is dead, that you can't finalize that balance between AAA graphics, indie style gameplay, and still make a profit and still be cheap. It was like a $30 game. Like, those don't exist anymore. People are like, they're dead. But Sony came out before this, and then they released the Ratchet and Clank game movie.
Oh, that's really good.
They released, now these aren't indie, but they released these budgeted games like the Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Yep.
And people were buying these games like Crash Bandicoot, and it was like, okay, we have that price point still there.
But is Crash Bandicoot a AA game?
No, I'm talking about the price point at that point.
Yeah.
Because that up until recently, it's basically been your $60 game, maybe $70 game with a deluxe edition or 80 super duper DLC, whatever, right? And then it's always been indie, which is usually at 20, 25 and below. But Hellblade came out, and it was a 7 to 8 hour campaign. So it had a full campaign. Fully done soundtrack by a professional studio, but it was only made by 10 people.
Oh, wow.
And it was totally led by their entire team. They had a very small marketing budget, and basically, long story short, the game sold wonders. It's an incredible game. I recommend go playing it. I played a little bit of it, but I totally think it's worth it. I don't want to do too much spoilers into it. Just go look it up. But basically, it made 4 times its budget, sold extremely well, and now it's in the running for Game of the Year.
Wow.
Really?
And that's a AA game. So people are saying the revival, this generation of games, like, don't get me wrong, has been a roller coaster of ups and downs.
It's been a roller coaster, dude.
But
I feel like there's been a few more downs than ups.
Depends.
Oh, yeah, I guess it really depends.
This is like a learning generation, right? A lot of things are resurging and coming back at a critical point to where the next generation is turning into Gen 8.
Yep.
And we can take those learning points and just keep building upon it.
Because,
right?
I mean, what you're talking about and what I think is going on, I think AAA games are going a little bit downhill.
Yeah.
Indie games are seeing a resurgence. We've got games like Cuphead, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got games like Hollow Knight, Hat in Time, stuff like that. That's getting really popular, and it's also good mechanically.
Right.
And then, like you're saying, AA games are making a resurgence.
Yeah. Because it's margins. It's all about money for everyone. For us as college students, we always do the broke gaming section, right?
Yep.
It's always about what is your best investment. And a lot of these games,
more bang for your buck.
Don't get me wrong, the $60 price point, honestly, with inflation and all that, probably should be higher. But it's still a big – that's literally over half $100.
Yep.
And we've been burned so many times. Like, we talk about Battlefront. I'm going to talk about Battlefront because of that. I paid $70 for the deluxe edition, got it at midnight. Don't get me wrong, I played a ton of it. I got my hourly worth in terms of investment of money. But in terms of being burned and, like, this, I don't really feel like it was worth the 60. There's so many of those games now.
Yeah.
That, and then on top of that, the microtransactions are killer. You're, like, sucking the life. It's like these $60 games have these free-to-play mechanics in them with these free-to-play mechanics, microtransactions, and it just burns you out. And people are like, oh.
It's not fair, right?
It's not fair. And people are like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. Well, it's a psychological event. Eventually, you're going to get run down over time, and you're going to start looking for other venues, and that's what's happening. And especially as our generation becomes into these, you know, these leadership positions and jobs, as we're making more money, our generation's becoming the next kind of workforce. They're like, well, we played these games. We want to play, you know what I mean? We have more purchasing power than we did the generation above us. So it's just interesting to see those trends kind of change over time, you know? But I guess kind of leading into that, does anybody have any final notes about any indie games? Anybody looking forward to any indie games coming up at all personally? or updates for indie games. Like PUBG's gonna update. Yep, PUBG.
New map. New map.
The winter map.
It's coming soon.
Or desert map.
Desert map.
Desert map.
It's coming soon. Been confirmed.
I have high hopes for a Cuphead DLC because the developers said that if they get enough money off the release of Cuphead, which I guarantee you that they did.
Yeah. What, 2 million, right?
It's they sold a million. It's the fastest selling indie game on Steam for the past 2 years, and Steam has a ridiculous amount of games right now.
And they've cut a lot of bosses from the original game.
Yeah, they did.
So we can hope to God that they give us a good little DLC that we can play.
I would like on that note somebody to dig into the files and see how much content was actually cut, because that game was in development for such a long time, and Cuphead is just it's going to have a historical reasoning because it had that debut at PAX. And then Microsoft took it and like put tons of money behind it, and it just expanded and expanded, but things got left behind, which is weird. You look at some of these trailers, and some of these bosses or things are changed.
Entirely. I mean, I'm pretty sure, about 100% sure, that at least 30 bosses got cut.
Yep, exactly. Wow. And one of them was actually shown off in one of the original trailers.
Yep.
It just couldn't fit into this new formula, or maybe it just wasn't ready to go. I don't know. I wasn't part of the development team.
I think one of them got cut because it looked like a racially insensitive cartoon.
Oh, well, that makes a lot more sense, too. Well, it's just kind of like things just kind of happen. You got to change. Well, like Destiny 2, when they had that armband with the racial thing on it. Remember that? Did you hear about that, Connor? I don't know if it was on purpose. I'd like to hope it wasn't on purpose. But in Destiny 2, some art asset, one of the shoulder pads, had a equivalent to a KKK symbol on it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was
really... You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. It was serious. It was really bad. So
How fast did they take it off?
Oh, it was really quick. As soon as it was discovered, it was really quick, and they did an apology, yada, 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 the more corporate spiel. But I'm looking forward to more episodes in Life is Strange Season 2.
Yeah.
I really love indie episodic stuff because it allows them to continuously be innovative and not have a set path. And what I mean by that is that they have their initial vision, right? They create the first couple episodes and content because everything, like when I make videos, I have content scheduled out for a certain amount of time. But eventually, you get that feedback and you can start, you know, acting on it. It's reactionary. And these episodes with this reactionary content, you get to see the fan feedback
instantly,
but blended with the developer. And you have that connection. And it's beautiful. Not only the game's beautiful, but you see the money you're putting in is actually worth it to somebody else. Like they value you as a customer, not obviously there's so many of us that bought the game, but they value us as a collective whole.
Yes, that makes sense.
And I'm just being really sentimental this episode, but the gaming industry, it's just full of passion, and it's hard to see people being burnt out. It's hard to see people being upset because a lot of these corporate decisions, I believe, I don't know if I'm true or not, you just see these really greedy decisions, and as somebody that's creating these works of art, and I feel like for them it's disappointing. Because nobody's going out there to make a cruddy loot box system, right?
No.
Nobody. I mean, even people to design the loot box.
That seems too hard, even.
Yeah.
Like, it seems...
Yeah, like, I personally can't believe that people, like, that an industry that we love, in a medium and a hobby that we care about, and we played for so many times, and the people that build it are the same way, I just don't believe it that they have those intentions.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I love indie games so much, because the people that do leave those studios make these games, and it's just like, I believe you. You know, this is your work of art. This is your love to us, right? So kind of going off of that, what is a cheap, or not even cheap, what is an indie game you recommend for our audience?
You go first, Nick.
Ooh, I'm going to go first this time, huh? Yeah. Throwing me on the spot. Typically, I wait and think a little bit beforehand. I would say, you know, I'm going to go with Cuphead.
All right, fair enough.
I was going to say Shovel Knight, but I said that along in Season 1, if anybody going back and watch those episodes, but I was going to say Rocket League 2, but everybody knows Rocket League. I'd say Cuphead. It's brand new. Or Cuphead or Rhyme. You know, those two games, they're $20 each. Rhyme, if you're a physical collector, has physical collection edition too. So if you're a physical collector, you can buy that too. They're both aesthetically pleasing. Their gameplay mechanics, now they may differ, but they're solid, they're defined, they're smooth. They're worth every penny, and I feel like those developers could use your help, honestly, and especially as they kind of grow and become more well-known.
I really like Life is Strange. I mean, I only played the first episode, but...
Season 1 or Season 2?
Season 1.
Okay.
Yeah, no, definitely... I mean, I got the first one for free. I think it's free for everyone or something like that, so I definitely look into at least trying to play the first one. It's like
a movie. 5, 10
it's like a movie that you can control. I really liked it.
Okay. For me, I really like one developer specifically. I really like anything made by Edmund McMillen.
Okay.
So, you know, any Super Meat Boy game, yep. Binding of Isaac, stuff like that, I think is great. You should go try it out.
Super Meat Boy. From those also, there's a really good documentary that we actually watched in class, same with Eric, like when he was in the class before we were, that defines the life of an indie developer. And Super Meat Boy, and what was the other game?
Fez.
Fez, there's three of them. Fez, yeah. Super Meat Boy.
And I don't remember the last one.
I can't. Nah, man, they don't. Who cares? Wow. Swept under the rug on that one. It was actually, the third one's a good game, too. Yeah. I feel bad for not remembering. But it really shows how much dedication go to these games. And you see the frustration, the happiness. And I feel like maybe that video is what got me so hooked on the scene. And that for me personally, and on a whole other level. But we have a lot of great back, like always. We have a ton of great things planned for the remainder of Halloween, the Monster Mash month. We're going to be re-recording Matt's episode due to the technical issues, like I stated earlier. We have another guest star talking about zombies as well, so that'll be fun. So the next two episodes are going to be Monster Mash Halloween themed, and so just look out for those. This will kind of be the last kind of generic, or not generic, but kind of video game, not Halloween based episode for the month. And then stay tuned for more Halloween event reviews. We already have the Overwatch one up currently. I will be doing work on the Rocket League one tomorrow or later this week. So look, stay tuned for that. Obviously, Connor and Alan just said their videos will be going here shortly too. And then
create a video.
We'll figure it out. It'll go up eventually. So our social media accounts will have it. But always stay tuned for more content from us. And like always, I'm Nick.
I'm Alan.
I'm Connor.
And thanks again for tuning in. Have a good night. Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul, seal your doom tonight. Spooky, scary skeletons speak with such a screech. You'll shake and shudder in surprise when you hear these zombies shriek. We're so sorry, skeletons, you're so misunderstood. You only want to socialize, but I don't think we should. A spooky, scary skeleton shouts startling, shrilly screams. They'll sneak under sarcophagus and just won't leave you be.